Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and sometimes the myths of the people and events that created the Sunshine City. My name is Rui Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 102 years, and we're happy to share the stories with you here on Radio St. Pete. So Central Avenue has always been a flashpoint in St. Pete's history, both good and bad, but we can't deny is the fact that the amount of history that it holds. Originally called 6th Avenue in earlier city plots, it became the center of commerce and activities throughout our city's history. I, like other people, worked on it for years. We saw the changes, even experienced the city trying to turn it into a pedestrian pathway only, no cars on the street in the late 70s, early 80s. A number of the historic buildings still exist, but not enough of them. We're actually working on an exhibit that will open in September that tells the stories of Central Avenue with a then and now type photography exhibit. But today our guest is Manny Lehto, the executive director of Preserve the Burg. Preserve the Burg commissioned a 2-year study of the impact of historical preservation in St. Petersburg, which of course included the Central Avenue corridor. Manny, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Rui.
So tell us about this study. I mean, I know that you guys were excited when you announced this and presented it at the event you held it at the museum not too long ago. What's the study about? Why is it so important?
Well, first, I want to thank you for offering the History Museum as a venue for us to roll out the study. So I appreciate that. So this study, again, as you said, 2 years in the making. And really, the idea was to quantify the value of historic preservation. You know, a lot of times when we talk about historic preservation or historic buildings, historic architecture, historic places, as you know, we talk about the people, and we talk about maybe the style of the house or the style of the building. We like that building. We talk about the aesthetics, or we talk about, well, you know, as I understand it, Babe Ruth spent at least one night in every structure in St. Pete, right?
Only the 1920 right. Structures.
So we talk about the stories, and that's critically important. I mean, we want people's stories to be reflected in the built environment, and we see the impacts when those stories are kind of erased from the landscape. But the other thing that we wanted to highlight, or at least focus on, is the quantifiable impact, because you know that story of the people or the styles of architecture that maybe doesn't resonate with everybody, but we wanted to put these concepts in economic terms. So, what is the actual value of a small storefront on Central Avenue, and why does Central Avenue work the way it does? One of the interesting things about the survey is we conducted a survey and found that an overwhelming majority of St. Pete residents visit Central Avenue at least once or twice a month. So you've got this incredible asset for the city. Why does it work? Why does it work so well? We think it's because of the historic buildings.
And what about, I was glancing through the study and I saw one of the statistics that talked about the number of women-owned businesses on Central Avenue.
Yeah, well, one of the fun things. Well, let me back up and say that the study focuses, or at least has four components. One is just a data component, so we're just looking at kind of numbers. What is the value of homes in historic districts versus non-historic districts? You know, what are the ages of structures? We also looked at again Central Avenue, which we're diving into. We also did a survey, so that's in there. And then we looked at affordable housing, which is not something that is typically historic preservation and affordable housing. People don't often put those two things together. So those were the four main things that we looked at. So that being said, when it comes to the data, you know, we didn't really know what we were going to find. And one of the things that was surprising was that Central Avenue is home to a greater share of minority-owned businesses and a greater share of women-owned businesses than the city as a whole. Now, why is that? Well, we're not really sure, but what it tells us is that there's a revealed preference there, that the owners of these businesses are choosing to locate on Central Avenue You know, could be a variety of reasons, but definitely, you know, the foot traffic. We would say that these historic buildings, because they're small, because they're adaptable, square footage is more affordable for a small business, for a startup, for somebody to take a risk and open a business. It's maybe easier to do that in an older building than it would be to do in a shiny new building.
Was there anything in the study that addressed, as far as, you know, you're looking at Central Avenue specifically, and we'll talk about some of the other areas of the city in a second, but the preferred blocks, like, for instance, when you go up, you know, the 600 block, and of course all those really cool old buildings are still there, right? The row of all the little shops, and you go even further in Grand Central. Are people looking at those areas as a preferable place to own or open businesses?
I think that that's what the study shows, is that if you want to be nerdy about it, the term that is used is a revealed preference for these places. Now, that could be for a variety of reasons. The walkability, the proximity to other businesses, the closeness to downtown. But we think that the historic nature of these buildings is certainly one reason. And I think that that's, again, it's something that just doesn't get talked about. I think people love Central Avenue, but I bet you if you ask the average person, what do you love about it? They probably, history probably doesn't come to mind. Yet, over what the study shows is that over half of the buildings on Central Avenue in this little study area were built before 1960. And so you have this majority of these blocks are historic blocks. So maybe they can't really explain it. They can't put their finger on it, but they know that it's special. They know that it's different from, you know, the suburbs, and they're drawn to it.
Well, like, I'm in the selling history business, right?
Yep.
And you look at St. Petersburg now compared to 20 years ago, and of course it's a completely different city, but even the attitude about the city, the history about the city, I mean, St. Pete history is cool now.
Right.
Wasn't necessarily like that 20 years ago, right? So when you go up and down Central Avenue and you see a lot of these shops, these, you know, independently owned, you know, small, amazing businesses that are selling, you know, retro coffee cups or t-shirts or something like that. So, and they are typically in some of these older buildings, right? And you mentioned about, you know, about half the buildings being built before 1960. So I looked at part of the summary of this, and is this true that nearly half the buildings in St. Petersburg were built before 1960?
That's right. That's right.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's the value of doing a study like this, because, okay, we could argue about, you know, okay, save this building, don't save that building, or this neighborhood should be historic or that neighborhood should be historic. But you can't argue with these numbers. And the numbers show that, you know, there's a huge number of historic or huge inventory of historic homes in St. Petersburg that are providing some measure of affordability. The cost to live in those older structures is lower for renters and for owners of historic buildings. So you can't argue with these numbers. I mean, and so the question is, you know, what do we do with them? And okay, now we know that most of the buildings on Central Avenue up to about 34th Street were built before 1960. So now what? And that's the kind of the policy question. But yeah, it's cool now.
Yeah.
History is cool now. And, you know, and the other thing is, you know, it's not just our study, but there are study after study for years now is showing a preference of millennials and Gen Z to be in these cool older places. You know, they want something that's different from what they grew up with. They want a unique experience. One of the things that I talk about a lot, maybe we can play this game, but you know, where was the last place you went on vacation and why? And, you know, for me, so I just got back from Key West. What is the draw? The draw is it is amazing architecturally. I mean, there's stuff you just don't see a lot of in other parts of Florida. You know, buildings that date back to 1830, you know, when Florida was a territory, you know, before
right,
Florida
right.
was a territory. You know, that's the draw. That's why I wanted to go there. That's what makes it so interesting. That's why it's so easy to walk around everywhere. And people don't really think about that. But it's these historic places. They are definitely cool again.
Don't ask my family to play that game because if it's not a historical city, if it doesn't have a history museum, or if it doesn't have a historical cemetery, I'm not going there. Right. So that's my life. The neighborhoods, right? So I was also looking at part of the key findings where it says that, you know, the St. Petersburg has a number of historical neighborhoods, and we can go through whether it's Driftwood or, you know, Rosa Park and Old Northeast, you name it. But very few are designated local historic districts. What does that mean?
Well, it means that you have a lot of really amazing places and neighborhoods that have absolutely no protection at all, and these buildings, these homes could be torn down at any time. You have St. Pete has an amazing inventory of historic neighborhoods. I mean, Driftwood is just such a unique place. Rosa Park is amazing. Rosa Park is St. Pete's first, or it was the first historic district in St. Petersburg. Kenwood, most mm-hmm. of the historic districts in St. Pete are located in Kenwood because they kind of figured out a way to divide up a very large neighborhood into kind of quadrants and then designate sections of the neighborhood. So I believe that, don't quote me on this, but I believe that Kenwood has four historic districts just in that sort of greater Kenwood area. But yeah, you've got all these great places that are not under any protection at all. And one of the other things that we were able to take the data from the study and figure out is that compared to other places that have had a similar survey, St. Pete is way at the bottom. If you look at places like Miami-Dade, so St. Pete has 0.5% of its land area is in a local historic district. 0.5%. New York City is closer to 3%. Miami-Dade area is closer to 1.5-2%. So we're way at the bottom of the list of protecting our neighborhoods.
What is the advantage? I know there's a process that a person can go through, obviously, to look for historic protection or preservation of their own home. So what is the advantage of doing that if you live in a 1920s house that Babe Ruth slept in?
Well, one of the monetary advantages is that you can freeze your property taxes at the pre-improvement level of the let me rephrase. You can sort of freeze your property taxes at their pre-improvement rate for 10 years. So you basically get a property tax break for a decade.
Okay.
So that's a very clear economic benefit. The other benefit is on the residential side, it's not a lot in terms of direct tax breaks and money, grants and things like that. What it does ensure is that the neighborhood maintains its character. And in that sense, you're sort of ensuring that the neighborhood you bought into is going to look like neighborhood that you bought into, you know, 10 and 15 and 20 years down the line. And there's certainly a value to that. On the commercial side, if you own a commercial building, you know, you can sell your development rights or your air rights. So that's a huge benefit. And buildings like the Floria de Leon on Fourth Avenue North took advantage of that.
Where Babe Ruth actually did sleep.
Where Babe Ruth actually, yes. And Lou Gehrig, right?
Yes, yes.
So on the commercial side, there's more benefits. You can apply for a federal rehabilitation tax credit, which will offset 20% of your rehab costs. You can also take advantage of that property tax abatement. So there's some real benefits there. And also, you know, if you're a commercial building, you get some leniency on codes. So things like ADA accessibility and other things, they're going to give you a pass on some of that stuff because you're a historic building.
Gotcha. So what about the effect, you know, not just from this study, but what this is telling us about historical or cultural tourism. I mean, when you look around our state, for instance, I mean, nobody does it better than St. Augustine, right? So it's a bazillion dollar business there every year. So, and we're kind of both in that business here in St. Pete. So, I mean, is it possible to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, it should. And I think it does to some degree. I mean, why do people flock to Central Avenue? Because it's such a special place. And again, as we said earlier, maybe they don't know exactly why. And so maybe, you know, St. Augustine, you know, you're clearer on the history of it.
Sure.
And maybe less so in St. Petersburg. But there's still something a little different when you're walking around the streets. And so, yeah, I think, you know, tourism-based, you know, cultural tourism, you know, we know that cultural travelers, they stay longer, they spend more money, you know, they're looking for that richness, that depth of experience.
Right.
And these are, again, you know, we sort of, as historic preservation nerds, we refer to historic buildings as historic resources, and because that's what they are, you know, or historic assets. They're an asset. They're not, you know, so often these places are looked at like, oh, this is going to be a burden. This is going to be tough for us. But, you know, I think we need to flip that. And these are real assets. They're things that make our city special. They're things that make our city unique. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, there's, again, study after study, you know, especially with millennials and Gen Z, they're looking at the city they want to move to and then figuring out if they can work there. In, you know, years past, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was different.
Right.
There's where the jobs are. So you just went to where the jobs are. Now they're saying, I don't care how many jobs there are in Bismarck, you know, North Dakota. I'm not going there.
No, thank you.
I want to go to St. Pete, and then I'll figure out if the jobs are available. So we want to be a city that is attractive to young people, and your historic resources are part of what makes a city attractive.
And I think that in Central Avenue, going back to Central Avenue, it does play such a huge role in that. I mean, if you look at the arcade, the small arcade building, or any of those buildings that are still standing, I think there's even for the folks. So when we do some of our tours at the museum, I'm always asking the folks, you know, how many of you have lived here fewer than 5 years? And the majority of the people raise their hands, right?
Yeah.
So even for the folks who haven't been here for a very long time, the idea of the protection or just loving those buildings. We were very fortunate that we got a call not too long ago from the folks that are redoing the restaurant in the Detroit Hotel, asking if we want the Detroit Hotel's original elevator. Well, it took us about 13 seconds to get there, right, from the museum and rent a truck and figure out how to move that thing. So, you know, we have it right now, and hopefully we're going to be able to, you know, to give it some loving and, you know, put it in the museum.
You have an elevator?
We have the original Detroit Hotel elevator that actually has a hand crank in it before there was electricity.
Wow.
You'd actually crank the elevator to go up and down. So now it's up to my curator, my maintenance staff, to figure out how to put it back together because it's all like in pieces, right? So they had to remove it from the actual hotel. So, but I think people are, you know, they look, and you're right. I mean, a lot of these folks, not just the businesses, but the visitors, right, look at the stuff that's on Central Avenue, and it just attracts people there. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it is so historic, that there are portions of it that are just gorgeous because, you know, they're 100 years old.
100%. I mean, you know, it's what, again, we use a lot of maybe wonky terminology when we're talking about historic preservation. But one of the other terms we use, you know, is things that are built at a pedestrian scale, a human scale, just feels right. It feels comfortable walking around in these places. And, you know, I was talking with some folks with the city, and we were trying to think of where is another place in Florida that has a main street as robust as St. Pete's Central Avenue. You have a main street that stretches from your waterfront for 34 blocks, you know, and it go on and farther.
And then it picks up again.
But up to up to Grand Central, let's say, the Grand Central District, you know, 30 plus blocks. So you have a contiguous 30 block Main Street that is active and vibrant. And I would challenge you or challenge anybody, name another city in Florida that's got that.
And even on the other side, because on the west side of St. Pete, from basically the, you know, the Treasure Island Bridge or the Park Street heading east, mm-hmm. it's almost like now it's creeping that way as well, right?
It will fill in if it's redeveloped, right? And that's the challenge. It's, are you going to maintain that walkability? Are you going to maintain that varied streetscape? It's the store frontage. It's the way that those buildings interact with the street. That's part of what makes it successful. There's a kind of a building science to it.
Correct.
And we were trying to think, you know, maybe Duval Street or something. But
the only place I can think of is Micanopy, but that main street is four blocks long.
That's right. Yeah. So, Ybor City, same thing.
Right.
Great main street, you know, nightclubs, bars, things like that. But what is it? It's from 13th Street to 22nd Street.
Correct,
so, you know, it's a dozen blocks or so. I was thinking of Delray Beach, maybe, mm-hmm. but it's not. So my point is, you know, you've got a real gem here in St. Petersburg that needs to be, you know, if not 100% protected, it needs a lot of care and feeding, and its development needs to be carefully guided at a minimum.
Correct. I agree with that. So, Manny, I mean, we could probably talk about this for hours, and we're definitely going to have you back, right? And I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Historically St. Pete. Just a reminder to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the St. Pete Pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. The museum is open 7 days a week. You can visit historystpete.org for more details. So thank you all very much for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.